Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Keeping busy as always.
Yes, good. The weather finally decided that it was October.
Thankfully, man, we needed that rain.
Okay, gotcha.
Especially since they just shut off our irrigation.
I could have used a little more another week. I can be greedy and use another week of sun for showing houses, but it's not bad. We've had it so good. Mm-hmm. We had amazing sales numbers that came in for September, so another fantastic September. Super busy. We're back in that position on the local news front. We're back in that position of lower inventory again like we were in the spring. So generally this time of the year we're looking at like 1,300 listings on the market. We're down to like 1,180 with the last statistic released from the Tri-City Association of Realtors. When you look at that with roughly 310 sales last month and you look at your absorption rate, that puts us down at just a little bit over like a 3-month supply. That's a short supply. You know, that's a lower inventory market. So the good houses that are hitting the market right now are going extremely fast. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our local update on what's going on there. Before we get too serious, I know we always like to get our crazy national real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what, it looks like Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder, is finally letting loose of some of that cash into the real estate market. So he just made two huge purchases of chunks of land on Kauai's North Shore. Last time I checked, buying a lot or some waterfront property there was not the cheapest, much less going ahead and buying nearly 700 acres on the island for a private family sanctuary that they're having there. The first was a 393-acre parcel with a beach, and the property records show, according to Zillow.com, property records show that another company paid $50 million for that in September. And it wasn't officially listed, but it was being shopped around. So and then the second purchase that was potentially done there was a 357-acre former sugarcane plantation that's been off and on the market for around $70 million. Spent over $100 million on the land acquisition. He hasn't even started construction yet.
Wow.
So pretty crazy to see. Get this, too. A couple of little pockets existed. There were separate parcels that were landlocked within the larger farm. That's very similar to like homesteading rules or laws. I don't know how all of Hawaii's, but the story described it kind of like homesteading, where people might have had some title to these little pockets within the big farm. He's had to pay a pretty penny to have them relocated, we'll say, out of that pocket. So talk about hitting the lottery. I mean, say you had purchased this land or your grandfather had this little piece of land in the middle of a sugarcane farm that had been landlocked for decades, and then along comes a payday. So
ding, ding, ding.
Interesting what can happen with property there. Okay, let's talk national story, but even closer related to real estate. And let's talk a little bit about some economics, because there's some crazy stuff going on right now in the world. First one that I wanted to kind of relate back to real estate is we've got a huge fall recently on an economic front in the value of the euro against the dollar. Okay, so what this will end up doing is that will reduce inflationary pressures in the U.S., but at the same time, that hurts U.S. exports and reduces equity values, okay? With that being said, it's likely then, if that was the case, the Fed would wait longer before they raise the rates, if that's the economic climate that we're in. However, the European Central Bank is hoping that the Fed raises rates faster to weaken the euro more. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Then I'm going to go a step forward, and you're probably tired of hearing about it on the news, but I'm going to relate the Ebola outbreak to some good news in the local real estate market.
I can't wait to hear this, Lane.
So here's basically what you have happening. Not a great day this last week on Wednesday in the stock market. When you look, major, anytime the Dow is down 400 points, you've got a bad news coming out of Europe. What happens? You have large amounts of money leaving the stock market. Those people are looking for a safe haven for that money. So they're driving that money into bonds to try to be safe with that money. When that happens, because there's a large influx coming in, the interest rates are going to lower. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden we have an Ebola outbreak, and I'm getting an email from Tom Coyne over here at Umpqua that rates are the lowest they've been in a year, and it's because of Ebola. So it's the only positive spin that I can put on.
There it is. Okay, I like it.
So back me up over there. We've got Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, incredible rates this week.
Yeah, we haven't seen this since May of 2013. So what's that, 17 months?
That's what I'm talking about.
The rates are incredible right now. And it really kind of came out of nowhere. It came in Tuesday of this last week.
It came out of Africa.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I've got a geography book over here if you want it.
So yeah, the rates came out of Africa on Tuesday. We were all closed for Monday.
Okay,
it was thrilled to see how low rates had dropped.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Like I said, I was trying to find something positive to bring to the show about, because I'm tired of hearing all the negative stuff online. And that's my spin on it. But yeah, great to see. We haven't talked about refinances in ages. I don't know if you want to say something real quick.
You know, Lance,
there might be a chance with the rates the way they've been.
I sent an email to every one of my past clients here this last week and say, geez, look at what the rates are at. If you had thought about refinancing in the past, it didn't make sense. Let's look again right now. And I think we got three or four started. I'm sure there's another 10 going to be coming. So as many people can get in while the rates are low like they are, fantastic. Save that money. There's nothing to say that next week rates are going to go right back up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was kind of out of left field. A lot of things going on there. So anyway, just wanted to get that news out to people, because it's really strange how we can see these world events like this affect that, and that can make a difference. One of the things it also helped us do is help Tom and I come up for a topic for this week's show, because anytime rates are where they're at, we start to think about our investors in our portfolio, about what does that look like if you're purchasing an investment property with rates where they are. And we always talk about, you know, in these transitions and in these changes, that's when people are going to make big decisions that can impact their life dramatically later on. And so we kind of give this example every 7 or 8 months. We like to talk about this on the show because I think there's people out there listening that might have the idea. And I know sometimes I've listened to things 4 or 5 times and it doesn't make sense or hit with me till the 6th or 7th time. Generally speaking, what ends up happening is as you go through your life and you spend 15, 20 years in a house, what ends up happening at the end of the deal is, other than maybe your 401k that you're dealing with or savings that you've saved for retirement, your next largest asset that is generally paid off is your house. And so what happens is we look and we say, when we look at America in general and where wealth is held in real estate, many times it's the largest.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we like to say to people is, well, if that's the case and that's truly what's going to happen, what would it be like, or how would it change your future if instead of having one of those, you had two of those? What if we could double what you were dealing with? And what would that mean? So if you had bought a $150,000 house, you know, 15 years ago, and it was worth $225,000 and 15 years paid off, what if you had two of those, you know, and it was worth $450,000? I mean, that could dramatically change your retirement.
You know, Lance, with rates as low as they are, and I'm jumping the gun here, what it's going to do is give you a lower house payment. And when you have a lower house payment and you have set rent, that is increasing your cash flow. And it may even take someone from thinking they're going to buy an investment property as a 30-year, and geez, now I can put it on a 15, I'm still going to cash flow on it, and this asset is going to get paid off in 15 years. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the scenario that I absolutely love, because we have houses out there in the market right now that will. It's tight, mind you. It's very tight. But you could potentially cash flow on a 15-year mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bought your first house 2 or 3 years ago, say, you know what, let's buy a second house that we're going to use for a rental. We are saying it's a dual-income family or even single-income family, and you're like, we are living off of our current income. We have extra reserves right now. So we don't need a huge amount of cash flow from this rental. Let's drop that on a 15-year note. If anything comes up, we can use our savings reserves to pay for it. And exactly what you said, that investment property is going to be paid off in 15 years at today's rates. You can get a fixed 15 years, so you don't have any risk associated with those interest rates changing. And in 15 years from now, you got two houses paid off. And, you know, depending on when you do this, if you do this in your, let's say you even mid-30s, okay? So that puts you 35 to 50 on a 15-year. And it even gets scarier or better in a great way if you're doing this in your 20s.
Late 20s
or early 20s.
You know, Lance, I got to believe there's a lot of people out there like me that, you know, when they decide to be a landlord and have some rental properties, they don't know if this is going to be great for me.
Right.
And it may not last forever. Maybe in 5 years I won't want to do this. All three of my rentals are on 15-year loans. And
yep.
That's the same way I think is like, geez, in 7 years, will I still want to do this? The thing is when you have a 15-year loan, you're paying that principal down so fast.
Yep.
So if a time does come when you don't want to do it anymore, you're going to have so much more equity because you chose to do the 15-year.
Absolutely.
And if you end up selling, okay, great. Now you got more money in your pocket.
That's absolutely right. So a couple points that I brought to think about for this and for the folks like that that are a little bit hesitant, one of the things that we counsel to them is not to maybe rush into a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex. Let's just start with a single family home. Now, there's a couple reasons like that. Your tenant pool for your single family homes is going to be larger because more people are going to be looking for an actual house to rent. The second great issue with that, and as I call that, with liquidity, and that is your ability to exit that situation. Like you said, what if you get a job transfer? What if it's not for you? It doesn't fit your personality. What if your job starts having you travel and you can't check on that so much? So liquidity is how quickly you can get rid of something like that. The market for a single family home to resell is way larger than, say, a duplex or a triplex. It's generally going to be going to investors or more seasoned investors. A single family home you could sell to another investor. You could sell to a first-time home buyer. You could sell to a somebody downsizing. There's a lot more options. So you expand your market when you look at just a very simple way to do it would be one more single family home. And so wrote down a couple points that we're also counseling people to look at. The number one thing that we counsel people to look at when they're going into the situation, especially as a first time investor, is to be very realistic about the home inspection. You need to evaluate the results you're getting from that home inspection because in an investment situation you have, like, maybe it needs a new roof in 5 years. Maybe the air conditioning or heat pump is 12 years old and it's likely to be a 16 to 18 year system at the most. Those are major items that if you're doing what we said on a 15-year mortgage, you're not going to have a ton of extra cash flow left over. You really need to be budgeting for those items and or making sure you're negotiating the best possible repairs for those items when you go into the deal. So the biggest mistake we see people make is not paying enough attention to that home inspection and then not addressing particular items that can come up on that home inspection. From an investment standpoint, it just hurts a lot more when those big costs come up on those properties if you're not cash flowing as high as you want. So that's a big factor. The second factor that I wrote down that people need to look at is a vacancy factor. A lot of people think, oh gosh, this thing's always going to be rented, but it doesn't work that way. There's a standard kind of vacancy factor that you need to put in there. So if you budget for a certain amount of cash flow, say you're budgeting for $200 a month of cash flow, and you end up with a rental rate of $1,000 per month, well, if you have a tenant for a year and then they decide to move to a bigger house or they get a job transfer, and that property sits vacant for 1 month, which could very well happen. They give you notice, you've got to clean the carpets, advertise it, get folks back in there. If that is vacant for 1 month, so that will eat up $1,000 of your rental rate, and your cash flow is $200 per month, that's going to eat up 5 months of cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So not having a fudge factor in there in your budget for that vacancy factor can be a big, big issue. And I know you deal with this on the loan side, too.
Yeah, we use a vacancy factor to qualify people. A lot of times we hear 75% as actual what will count for income. And there's different rules and stuff that plays into, whether it's on tax returns or not. But a lot of times we're going to just take out 25% of what they're actually getting, and that's what we're going to call their vacancy factor.
Perfect. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Tom about some more of these requirements when looking at an investment property, and we'll be right back after our first break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about the effects of Ebola on local real estate. Well, maybe just a little bit. I think we've heard enough of that in the news this week. So what we've really been talking about is how low the rates are, which arguably have come from some of that disaster, utilizing these low rates when they're like this to purchase or refinance investment property. So we've got with us in the studio the expert on that topic, Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua. Tom, how are you doing, and what do we need to know about investment property?
Well, this is something I'm very passionate about. I know, Lance, you are too. We both have investment property.
Yep.
I think it's one of the best ways that someone can build long-term wealth for themselves.
I absolutely agree, and it's part of the reason why I do what I do.
Absolutely. You know, going into retirement, someone has three or four rentals that are, and they're all paid off. I mean, that's very stable income that they have every single month coming in. So I definitely love that we talk about this a few times a year. Now, investment properties, they don't have as favorable terms as owner-occupied properties would. And the reason is because lenders look at investment properties as more risky.
Right.
Now, let's say someone comes under hard times. They lose their job. And now they're having to make a decision of, okay, do I make the house payment on my primary residence where my wife and kids live, or do we make the payments on our rental? Well, you're going to make it on your primary residence.
I love that explanation. That is the simplest way.
It's really how we look at it. And so if someone's using rents from their rental properties to make the payments on their primary residence, that's how so many homes foreclosed since 2008 and that little recession that we had. And so they're considered more risky. Now, generally, lenders want to see more equity in them, because if they do foreclose, they're in a position where they can sell them and maybe not lose money on that foreclosure. So if you're looking to buy a one-unit investment property, we're going to require a 15% down payment. However, at that, mortgage insurance is pretty high, also called PMI. So I always tell people, get to at least 20% down, because that 20% down, there isn't a mortgage insurance hit, and you also have a better interest rate. However, it gets even better at 25% down. Most of the time when someone comes to me and they have the ability to put 20% down, they have the ability to put 25% down.
Gotcha.
And it's just going to give you a better interest rate, generally around 0.25% to 0.75% less by putting a little bit extra money down. Now, if you're looking to finance a home with 1 to 4 units, that's considered residential. Anything over 4 units and you're going to get into commercial financing, it's a completely different ballgame for that. Now, let's say I have someone who's wanting to buy a duplex or even a fourplex, and they're going to live in one of the units. We'll actually use the rents from the other units to help them qualify for that purchase.
Gotcha.
That's how a lot of people will get started with buying investment properties, is that they convert either their current home into a rental and buy another one, or they buy a duplex as their primary residence, and then they can rent out the other side. And maybe someday they'll move out and buy a single-family house and then convert both of those units to rentals. So that's an attractive option for a lot of people. Now, if you're looking to refinance an investment property, your maximum loan-to-value is 75%, meaning that the loan cannot be higher than 75% of what the house is worth. Now, rates took, like we said, a big drop this week. Mortgage-backed securities and interest rates, the lowest we've seen them in 17 months. So if you have an investment property, I would strongly strongly recommend that you look at your mortgage statement, give me a call while you have it in front of you, and let's see if we can save you some money. If you want to go to a new 30-year loan, there's a good chance we're going to increase your cash flow, but maybe you're at a situation where you can convert your current 30-year loan into a 15-year loan and really start looking to build some equity in that property. So either way, you know, the window might be closing to get these low rates. It's hard to say what they're going to even be next week. All I know is that right now they are very, very good. Now, I also want to go over a couple ideas on how people can come up with this money to make this down payment, because as you can tell, it requires a little bit more. Now, I have a client I've been working with for the last several months, and he's wanting to purchase as many investment properties as he can. I think we've done two or three for him already this year. But he recently retired, and he decided to pull some money out of his retirement account. So he took $150,000 out of his retirement account, and he's using that money for down payment on as many investment properties as he can get. He's cash flowing over $450 every month on his rentals. Now, if he can use that $150,000 to buy five properties, and each of them is making $450 a month, he's earning $2,250 a month off of his $150,000. Rate of return on that, 18%. It's huge.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I don't have a problem with people using retirement funds to purchase investment properties, because like we've discussed, investment properties can be a part of your retirement portfolio. Now, let's say you have a primary residence. Maybe it's paid off or you have a lot of equity in that. You can look at doing a cash-out refinance of that to help come up with some down payment, or, of course, you can do it the old-fashioned way and just start saving up. So either way, very passionate about investment properties. I like to see everyone have one.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I always look at the fact that we could double people's net worth, which generally ends up being tied up largely in the homes they're in, with a few simple changes. And yeah, it's going to take you some hours here and there and some yard work and cleanup, but that's part of getting that reward. What would you do if you, at age 50, you had double the amount of net worth that you would have had you not done this? What would you be willing to do looking back? I think there's a lot of people that would choose that option. So we'd love to be able to show them that. And we've seen many of our clients and investors over the years just reap the rewards of this. So it's really fun to see. There was a story that a business coach was telling me, one of her other clients in New York had recently inherited $1 million from his grandmother that had passed away. And in the will, she said, you need to spend this $1 million on buying rental properties. It was a condition or a statement of the will. So really interesting to see somebody that had obviously, like her, who had built tremendous wealth through that vehicle, and was passing that along to her grandchildren and saying, okay, here's what you have, but this is how you have to use
right,
it.
Right.
So cool story, and that was another catalyst for me to say, you know what, yeah, you're right, Tom, that would make a great show. Let's go ahead and do that. So a lot of those stories coming out. Once again, I always like to fit in some property, some that potentially would work for this type of investment before we run out of time on the show. So I've got my pick three this week, and I've got some great homes. Pick number one, 4306 Desert Place up in Pasco. This is a fantastic Desert Plateau property. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath. It's in a quiet West Pasco neighborhood. It's got super tall vaulted ceilings, 2,080 square feet, granite counters in the kitchen, Gen Air range, French door refrigerator. They left those appliances. It's got a separate formal dining room, built-in desk area. The main level has updated flooring, tile, carpet, and the upper level has this really cool loft-style family room that looks out over the bottom level. So this house was built in 1981, and it was a Parade of Homes winner in 1981. We recently had the Parade of Homes. And this is priced at $175,000. And they've done all the major updates. They've done the heat pump. They've done the new roof. And so this isn't just your standard cookie-cutter house. This was a real show house that's had all of the updates done, and it's just a fantastic neighborhood and fantastic street. So to get into that type of property with all of those updates for $175,000, exactly what we've kind of been talking about on the show. So great, great opportunity there. Pick number two, 5401 Truman Lane, also in Pasco. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath, plus a den. And normally you'd expect me to say two-story. No, this is a Rambler. So this is 2,552 square feet on one level Rambler. Big open floor plan. You've got the great room, the gas fireplace, big, huge breakfast bar, corner pantry, huge master suite with a sitting area, split bedrooms for privacy. So you got the two the other bedrooms on the other side of the house, and boat and RV parking. We're coming in at 206,000. So that's right, 2,552 square feet.
Rambler,
206,000. Fantastic, fantastic value. Definitely drive by and check that one out. Give us a call if you want to get in there and see that one. Pick number three, this is located 1375 Kensington in Richland, and that is in the Brookshire neighborhood off of Keene, South Richland area. Steps to the White Bluff School out there, so fantastic area, big growing area. You've got a four-bedroom, three-bath, brand-new Rambler. Large great room. It's got the masonry fireplace, and then they did huge built-ins, floor-to-ceiling built-ins, stone masonry fireplace, huge, huge upgrades in this. You've got a master suite with a walk-in closet, already has built-ins, dual-sink vanity. You've got counter-to-ceiling mirrors. I mean, this place is incredible. Stunning hardwood floors, so custom hardwood floors, 10-foot ceilings, and this is priced at $385,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a great neighborhood, growing area. If you haven't been out that Queensgate, Keene area, you've got the new Marshalls opening, new Mexican restaurant coming, that place is just blown up. So this is just a fantastic opportunity for custom new construction in that area. So that's our pick three for this week. A couple more points as we wrap up here on the investment properties that I wrote down. The third point that I wrote down was, regardless of whether you have a property management company or you're doing it yourself, I wrote down, schedule time in your schedule to do visual checks on the property. Sometimes what happens is the rent checks come in every month and it always comes automatic payment on time, and you think everything's wonderful, there's no problem, and for 6 months you don't drive by the rental property. Well, in 6 months, if it is April 1 to October and nobody ever turned on the sprinklers, that 6 months could have been a costly time period for you, and this has happened to me personally. So I can tell you how painful it was to have to redo the yard when there was really no reason for it other than I got lazy and I didn't do this. So please, and I know better. I should know better, right? I'm in the business, okay? When you get busy and you're selling homes, and I forgot to put it in my schedule. So I just wrote
down. You probably have like a landlord checklist around your office, too.
Yeah. Don't even tell me how stupid I am. I know, okay? So exactly. So I just put that down as a huge point because you only do it once, and if I can help you from doing it zero times, you can use my pain to do it. So we had to redo a yard once because of that, and it just didn't make any sense. I thought everything was great. You know, checks were coming in, so visual checks on the property, they help you see what's going on with the neighborhood, if anything's happening with the neighbors, you can identify early problems, and there's just that type of maintenance that if you stop by and address it early, it's always way cheaper to address earlier. And then the fourth thing that I wrote down was that, what is the cost of your money? So you've got to remember that if your money has been making 3 or 4%, and that would probably be highly good in this situation, you're going to have to factor in what it's going to cost you to not be making that and move it to another investment. I always like people to do a cost-benefit analysis to say, yeah, I can make 18% over here, but I was making 4 over there, so really it's only 14% on the difference, and now you've got to factor in some of your time. So the last portion that I always write down is, factor in your time. How many hours is this going to take of your management? And really look at that. And I think a lot of times for me, it comes out as a big, big positive. But we've done that analysis with folks before too, and maybe they're buying too many properties and the time, you know, outweighs what they could be doing for their lifestyle. So it's really just a matter of sitting down and
been talking with people with what they want for their lifestyle and what vehicle that we can put them in. That is our take on the investment properties. Tom, I know that you've been super, super busy this week with rates, but I know there's still a great opportunity for people to get in and talk to you. If people are looking at refinancing or a purchase and they want to compare what's out there, how do they get a hold of you?
You know, please do give me a call. I love the chance to earn your business. You can reach me at 783-7300 or visit me on my website, TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
And folks, there's still a lot of year left. I know it's going to go quick, but we're selling a lot of homes right now. Still, with the lower inventory, there's an opportunity to still get a lot of homes sold by the end of the year that we might not always have in a more normal inventory type year. So we want to interview for that job of helping you make that decision and get your house sold. You can go to kenmartin.com and shoot us a message, and we will take care of that. And also, we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.
In the middle of a dream.